Please stand with me. John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 10 and 11. John 1, 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And while you're standing, just pray, just with, before service. I mean, before the message. Thank you.
Hey, Father, thank you today. Pray for Pastor Schaller and God that you would heal him, touch him, God, today. Think of Pastor Ronaldo, Pastor Manny, others that are not well. There's many people. Father, touch, protect us from these flus and things that are going around, God. Pray that you would bless our time this morning. Thank you for this life, this promise that we have, that we believe that he is the promise of God. Give us an ear to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What we need is a good snow. It'll kill all the germs. That's why there's so much disease in Africa because they've never had snow. We pray for like a foot of snow and 20 degrees below zero. That kills everything. I think. I don't know. I want to welcome the Langes here. I saw them. I know that somebody did, but thank you. Great, great couple. And would you stand up again? I just love them. They are from Budapest. And then there's the Plunkett family. Would you all stand? Come on, stand. Wow. Look at that. That's amazing, isn't it? When I think about Christian schools, there's two groups of people that are instrumental in really ministering to our young people in Greater Grace Christian Academy. Pastor Brian and Paula did an amazing job all those years here, investing in people, and we see the fruit of it. And I was the headmaster of a Christian school. I don't know if that's the right title, pastor or something. Gene, I don't know. What was I? I don't even know what I was. I was just there. But with Paul and Gene Plunkett, they were overseeing the high school and the elementary school, and they did a phenomenal job. And they have a great family, very spiritual. And thank God for these amazing people. Amen. It's really great, and their family's been in China. How many years? Internet wasn't supposed to say that word. They've been in a certain part of the world. How many years? I know it's too late. About, I don't know, 30 years. Is that good? 20? Man, I'm losing track of time. 20 years. That's something else. I was thinking about this will be, unless I counted incorrectly, this would be decade number 10 that I'll be alive. Yeah, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010s, 2020s. That's thank you, God. Anyway, as we think of what Pastor Eugene read as an introduction to this message, I want us to really focus on the promises of God, because I studied the Bible yesterday for a long time last night and then this morning, and then I was talking to Pastor Schall, and he said the sermon, you know, the four sermons for the month of December, and I forgot all about it. So I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start all over again. He just said, feel free, whatever, but I just really looked at that subject about deception. And who saw his coming? I mean, in other words, who saw the coming of the Lord? Who understood that he was coming for the first time? You know, he came to his own. They received him not. He's coming back for his own. That's called the rapture, 1 Thessalonians, and he's 4:16 and 17. Then he's coming back with his own in Revelation 19. So who knew he was coming? And I think the same thing that went on then is pretty much what's going on now. Talks about scoffers that say, where's the promise of his coming? I was talking to somebody yesterday at Aldi's as we were evangelizing. And he said to me, who needs a church? Who needs a church? I said, Jesus. Jesus is the head of the body. And his body's the church. And he was a 21-year veteran in the armed services. He had served in Iraq and different places. And I said, who needs an army? Who needs? And he goes, I get you. I said, a church is important, very important. And how many people, like they say, yeah, we always hear about the return of Jesus Christ. And, you know, everything is just going the way it's always been going. And just as it was not seen or not understood in those days, there were certain people that knew, obviously because of the influence of all of the Jews that were deported to Babylon for 70 years. These three wise men that came from the east, they had some understanding of the scriptures. And there were people during this time that understood the scriptures. They understood the scriptures. There wasn't a lot of people, but there was people like Elizabeth. There was John the Baptist. There were just different people, Simeon in the temple, that understood that Jesus was coming, that he would be born. And they understood the promises of God. And I think this is so important. When I have God's word and I have God's promises, I am delivered. I can be delivered from deception. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yes. I mean, really, like I would maybe think at times, or maybe we would sit here and think at times, oh, I'm not deceived. I can never be deceived. Really? Are you sure about that? Just saying you can't be deceived or you wouldn't be deceived means you probably already are. Sorry to tell you that. Telling myself the same thing. Because it can happen. To be deceived, the word in the scriptures is, in the Greek language, to be led astray. To be led astray and to wander away from the word of God. To wander from the word and to be led astray. And it can be through no teaching, false prophets, wrong interpretations. All that goes on in this Christianity as we see it today is so vital for me to understand. I could easily be led astray and go the wrong way. Can you imagine when those people got to Jonestown? And then they realized, guess what? Something happened here. Something's gone. And we look at it like, that's crazy. And by the way, that man used the Bible. He used the Bible. Then he put the Bible away one day and said, there's no need for this because I'm the voice of God. That's what happened. This is why these words and this eternal spiritual word and the promises of God are so vitally important for each and every one of us to know. Why does the Bible say, study to show thyself approved unto God? Because I want to know what's going on. I want to be able to understand when Jesus Christ is initiating to me and he's actually coming into my life, not just salvation, but he's speaking to me and he's guiding me and he's leading me, because I can easily find myself being deceived and wandering away and being astray. And how important this was, because they didn't know. This is amazing. They didn't even know. No one knew. There were some few people that knew about his coming. Yet, I read 30 prophecies this morning from the Old Testament about the birth of the Son of God. 30 different prophecies in the Bible about the birth of the Son of God. Now, if these people were so much into the Word and so much into the Bible, some of them, to become a rabbi, they say that you had to memorize much of the Old Testament. And one of the ways they tested rabbis was to take a nail and put it through the Bible, and then wherever they opened it up, where the hole was, you had to be able to memorize that verse and know that verse. If they said Jeremiah 31:2, you had to know the verse. So they were supposed to know the scriptures. Jesus even said it. You search the scriptures, John 5:39, and in them you think you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. You know the Bible. We know many groups out there that are not saved. They know the Bible. I meet some of them all the time on the street with their magazines. And they say, could I talk to you? I said, no, you can't talk to me because the Bible says I'm not to receive anything you have to say. And if you don't believe it, read 2nd and 3rd John. I don't let them in my door. One time in Holyoke, Massachusetts, we had this whole apartment complex and we had about 35, 40 people come into a Bible study. This was like 90-something. And they were coming up the stairs, four of them. And I said, you can't go on this floor in this apartment. They said, what do you mean? Do you own this? I said, yeah, I do. I own this apartment block. I said, this belongs to God and you're not from God. They said, you can't stop us from going. That's illegal. I said, well, I'm going to stand here with both hands on both railings and you're going to have to walk over me. They left. You say, that's not a tactic I would use. Well, I wasn't a pastor then. So I could get a little bit like rough if I had to at times. I'm sorry. But would I do that today? I'm not going to give you the answer to that. But the promises of his word and his promises, how vitally important, because I want to know, not just as a holiday, but as a holy day, I want to receive the initiations that God brings into my life. Other than that, it's easy for me to find myself going astray. I thought for sure, and some of the people from Springfield can remember this, I'm going to Italy as a missionary. I mean, I had everything. I had a visa. I had a team. I had a great desire for pizza. I had everything you'd ever want. I was Italian. I'm going to Italy to be a missionary for 3 years. Had it all planned out. Visa, house, Milan, everything. One day God said, this is over. It's a good try, but it's not me. I'm thinking, I could have been, wow. Can you imagine how much spaghetti I would have eaten by now? What it would have been like in my life? Who knows? I might be standing here at 400 pounds speaking to you. My wife said to me today, I'm making you spaghetti and meatballs when you go home, right? Isn't that what you told me? Yeah. And I would have, and you know what? That would have been being led astray and wandering out of God's way and from his promises. Even as a missionary in the wrong place. Then one day God spoke to me. Actually, it happened in 1985. And the Holy Spirit really spoke to me. Then I got a confirmation from Pastor Stevens. And I went to him and I said to him, like, how long have you known that it wasn't for me to go to Italy? He says, quite a while. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, I didn't want to violate your believer priesthood. I wanted you to hear from God. And of all places, I ended up in Africa. Of all places. Can't even believe it. Wow. How did that happen? That was 33 years ago. That's amazing. It's really incredible. And so God gives us his word and his promises so we can be delivered from deception. And how quickly deception came in, even around the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deception, being led astray from God's word and from God's promises. And I was thinking about the promises of God this morning. I mean, it's so incredible. Do you remember us living, was it 37 Madison Avenue? 27? 38! What a memory she has. 38, I don't even remember the 38, wow. And what an incredible, and I was thinking about that and how it all began and how I had all these great ideas of how many homes I was going to open for heroin addicts. And I had a vision for a Christian prison. Isn't that something? I went to the guy that owns the Best Inn. I said, I'd like to have you give me that building. He said, for what? I said, I want to have a Christian prison there. And I know, I'm only joking. Some of you, don't go to another church because I just said that. No, but he said to me, well, it's not for sale. I said, yes, it is. I said, well, you are right in one aspect because I think you should give us that hotel. We can use it for dormitories. Who knows what we could use it for, a restaurant or anything else. But there I was, and God had it be his will for me to do that. But there came a time when I had to make a step out of that. And there's times in all of our lives when we are walking in God. Remember that message years ago? It was good, and it was God, but now it's gone. Anybody remember that? It was good, and it was God, but now God is moving on. And so the promises of God, no one really understood those promises. They had 30 of them related to the birth of Christ alone. And yet, did they read the scriptures? If you look at the last days, which I believe we're in, I'm not a predictor of what's happening. I have no idea what's going on. I think about me going before he's coming. I don't know, you know, whatever. But I think about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, the Spirit, and the word is aretos, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days there'll be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Are you with me? That's why it's so important to be people that know God and know the truth and know the word and know doctrine. How God thinks. We thank you, Pastor Shalit, for decade upon decade, you've been giving us the way God thinks. Thank you. You've been giving us, you've been revealing to us how God thinks. It says seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What do those seducing planeo spirits want to do? Well, if you read verses 11 through 16, it's to take Timothy away from doctrine. That's why Paul said to him, I want you to command and to teach these things. I want you to understand these things. I want you to know that in studying the Bible and having doctrine, you'll save yourself and them that hear you. See, I need the word, because if I'm in the word and I'm believing the word and mixing faith with the word and receiving that word on a daily basis all of my life in our lives, and that's quite a great task if I try to perform that through the energy of the flesh. But with God, it's so simple. It's so easy. He wants us just to take it in. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Martha's running around the house like a madwoman, getting everything ready for Jesus, the food, the drink, whatever's going on, cleaning up after those disciples that walked into the house and maybe left dirt there. But Mary's chosen the good part. Don't take it from her. So in the last days, spirits, demon spirits, seducing spirits will come teaching doctrines of devils. And sometimes we think of doctrines of devils on maybe a higher plane, whatnot, you know, wrong teaching, churches that are anti-Trinity, anti-born again. They don't believe the Bible is the word of God. But even in Christianity, there's some teaching out there that's very interestingly wrong. And so he says, we need the word, because the word will deliver me from deception. Are you with me? How many of you, don't raise your hand, you want to be delivered from deception? Self-deception through my own self and my old sin nature. Following traditions rather than the word. Traditions are a handing down rather than the word. 2 Timothy 3:1 says pretty much the same thing. Again, says in the last days, perilous times shall come. What does that word mean? Does anybody know that's in the Bible? Ever read 2 Timothy 3:1? It says dangerous times shall come. And the word is chalepos, and it's the same word used for the Mark 5 man with 6,000 demons. Same word. Perilous times shall come. And what's the answer? Continue in the things you've learned, knowing of whom you learned them from, 3:14. That from a child you've known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. He's talking about the scriptures. My way of getting in the fight and always having experiential victory is to be a Christian of the Bible. Of the what? Of the what? Of the Bible. Not dead letter, but the Bible. So many things have tried to replace the Bible that are good things. Professional counseling. This is really professional counseling. This book. Are you kidding me? Magazines, novels. Now, nothing wrong. Please don't take me wrong. Read whatever you want. I just don't read anything. I read the Bible and missionary biographies and doctrine booklets. All right? Why? Because I fear, with a holy fear, of finding myself being led astray, wandering out of the way, even just a little bit. When they're coming back from outer space, what happens if they are a half of a degree off the orbit? Burn up, over, they die. Are you with me? I don't want to be like a little bit in the wrong direction. I don't want to be that way. Why? I need the word, because deception is so powerful. And it's not getting like less and less. Evil, in 2 Timothy 3:13, waxes worse and worse. Are you listening? So that means in 2020, I need to be in my 10th decade? My 10th decade, I want to be a man of the Bible. I pray, God, help me to understand your word. Help me to understand your word. Help me to have a desire for your word. Help me to have a love for your word. It's not the way it is in Christianity today for the most part. There are so many other options given to the believer by another kingdom. So many options. So many options. It's so sad. And people can find themselves doing so much else. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with TV preachers and all of that. But you know something? I know where I'm fed. Amen. Hello? I know where I'm fed. I know where I'm fed. There's a perfect horizontal in the church and a perfect vertical. Me and my Bible and I. We travel together. There's a little poem like that, but I don't even know what it is because I'm not a poet. Pastor Lange, I'm not a poet, okay? Cretans are poets. No, I don't know. Poets. But this word is so important. You say, oh, we know that. I know that. You know what? I have to keep telling myself that. You know, this morning, as I said before, I was studying about today, the message in the morning. And I was studying this whole topic for 2 hours on blessing, being blessed by God. Then it was like it shifted into a whole nother topic completely. And then I looked at the monthly card, sermon card? And it said, this was 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, deception. Who saw his coming? And I thought, oh my God, I got to start all over again. Because I would like to hit the target that was presented to us as people heard the Spirit and wrote it down. So I said, I'm going to start all over again. Okay, here we go. You know, here we go. And I said, God, studying those other topics, was I deceived last night? I thought, I don't know. You know, why was I studying those topics when I should have looked at the card? And I'm not legalistic where I have to be submitted to the card. I understand that. And nobody demands that. But I thought, this is really what's on the mind of the Holy Spirit. Who saw his coming? They didn't know. I mean, imagine killing every child under 2 years old just to get at the Son of God. Can you imagine? But it was predicted in Jeremiah 31. It was predicted. It was spoken of. Born in Bethlehem, it was spoken of. Micah 5:2. I mean, every aspect of his birth was there in the scriptures, but you got to look at the scriptures. And you might think because these are professional religious people walking around with their robes on and really like being like, you know, honored and adhered to by many people, they didn't know the Bible. They didn't see his coming. Are you with me? Who saw it? Those who knew the scriptures. And who, number two, will see Jesus coming back the second time? Those who know the scriptures. And let's take it a personal way, third way. How will I see Jesus Christ making initiations into my life? Hello? The scriptures. The scriptures speak to us. The scriptures are God's holy word. The scriptures in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Imagine having a Christian school with no scriptures. Oh, I've been around some of them. went to a Christian school conference one time with 29 churches, 29 schools. I sat there aghast that nobody even talked about the Bible. In the whole two-day conference, no one even mentioned the scriptures. The Bible. Imagine that. The what? The Bible. And I thought to myself, what's happening here? Is something wrong with me? Is something wrong with us? What's going on here? And I realized these are the last days. And deception is so powerful. What do I want to bring to Africa? Myself or the Bible? I want to bring the Bible to Africa. What do I want to bring to Asia? The Bible. What do I want to bring to Aldi's? When I go there, I also go in there and get, I had a Three Musketeer bar yesterday. Three Musketeers. I had so much candy yesterday and Coke yesterday. I know I can't get sick. No, I'm just joking. I'm only playing with you. Okay, because you know I have that reputation. As a matter of fact, you ain't going to believe this. I got three Hershey Kisses in my pocket. This is right after I'm done preaching. I get to eat these Hershey Kisses. Don't buy me any. I love Hershey Kisses, right? I mean, I love being kissed by my wife too, but I love Hershey Kisses. The promises of God. The Word of God. That's what we want to bring to our family, to our children, to the next generation. What are we going to leave the next generation? For some of you who don't think about that, I think about that. Why? Well, because I'm not 40 anymore. And I'm not 50. And I'm not 60. And I'm not 70. Stop it. Don't go there. No, I said to God, like, my mother lived to be like 93. Couldn't you give me 103? But I want it with the same mind. I don't want to be 103 years old sitting in some rocking chair somewhere in Sicily. Okay? Just eating my way into oblivion. No. I want to be a man of the book. We want children of the Bible. This is so important. You know, our Bible colleges, as I told you before, we have 240 students in Pakistan, in the city of Islamabad, in the city of Lahore, and in the city of Faizabad. There's 240 students watching 5 classes. Can you imagine? And some of them I talked with recently, and we were conversing, they're going to be hitting Afghanistan. They're being trained by this ministry, and they're going to be going into Afghanistan because they said to me, we can do it, you can't. Hallelujah. I said, oh, thank you. Thank you that you're willing to do it. Huh? The scriptures. Become men of the book, children of the book, women of the book. You know, a woman of the book is initiated to by a carnal man. She can shove the Bible right in his face. Get away from me. No, I'm not going on a date with you. Because I know what you're looking for. And it's the wrong thing. Hello? No, I'm not going to drink because the Bible says it. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And I don't care what law they pass about marijuana. You smoke marijuana, you're brain dead already before you start. I don't like you this morning. I don't really care. I'm just telling you. I had homes for addicts, and I saw every single person. I saw THC marijuana addicts with more problems in their mind than anybody you can think of. It's very sad that people take it as it's just a recreational drug. Yeah, recreation with Satan. How's that one? Say, well, I've been experimenting a lot. Well, stop experimenting before your head blows up. The Bible says it. Are you with me? The scriptures say it. The scriptures tell us how to live. Man shall not live by bread alone. So you know the Bible, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How many promises do we have? And as they missed the promises, some saw it. The wise men saw it. Mary understood it. Joseph understood it after a few initiations from God. Shepherds understood it. Simeon understood it. Elizabeth, John the Baptist understood it. But they were just a remnant of people. The overall congregation or the assembly of Jews and the Jewish people, they were very troubled and they didn't understand it. And they had the Bible all of their lives. trained in it, and they missed rhemas from God. Rhemas about his coming. They were very good in the letter. And I don't want to miss the scriptures in my life. I don't want to miss the word of God. And I know there's a danger that can happen so easily because there are massive amounts of deceptions out there, all engineered by the father of all lies. I want to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you believe in the devil? Oh, a lot of people say they do, but they don't really. Do they really? Do they really? I said that to a guy yesterday. Today's Sunday, Saturday. I said, how about the devil? I said, maybe he's the reason why you're doing what you're doing. I can smell it, drugs all over you. And I can look at your pinned eyeballs and tell you you've been getting high for a long time. He goes, well, so? I said, but God loves you, but this is going to destroy you. You can't think. We need the scriptures. Amen? Yeah. I need the scriptures to have a marriage that can, I can't make it. I don't want to say I can't make it with her. She can't make it with me without the Bible. Who the heck, she said to me, who could live with you without knowing God? I agree. Yeah, I'm walking around drinking orange juice at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. That's not a good thing to drink, you know, like the stomach and this and that. But I drank a whole thing of orange juice. Is there sugar in orange juice? No wonder. No wonder. I'll probably sleep this afternoon, maybe. But I should go to the Bible for my diet. I should eat locusts and honey. By the way, have you ever eaten locusts? They're good. I used to eat them in Botswana all the time. They fry them, and then you know what the best part is? The eyeball. Oh, yeah. When they're crunchy. They're crunchy. They are. I'm sorry. By the way, when we talk to people overseas, they say, you people eat some strange things. Some of the things you eat are very strange, you know? Snails? The heck is that, you know? But we want to live by every word of God. I want to eat the word. Jeremiah 15:16, I did find thy word and I ate it, and it was a joy and rejoicing to my soul, for I'm called, my heart, because I'm called by your name. We're called by the name of God, amen? Who's Jesus? Who said that? Who?
The Word.
The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. This is who God is for me in 2020, decade number 10. I don't want to stray from it. I don't want to be a 90-year-old imbecile who knows nothing. Oh, that God stuff was good. I heard people say this to me. Oh, that Bible stuff, that was good when I was younger. You know, I've gone beyond that now. No, you've gone below that now. You haven't gone beyond that. You've gone below that. Something's happened. Look at the promises that we have from God. All the promises of God are in him, what? Amen. Yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. Here's some promises from God, just as we prepare to close. God promises to love you forever. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Love me forever? God promises to forgive me when I fail. Amen? God promises to lead me and guide me in my life. Amen? God promises to protect me from evil. God promises to provide for me. Wow, I have 14 people I wanted to help out, and another 4 after that. 17 people I was thinking of over the Christmas time. And I had these figures in my mind, and somebody sent me $17,000. And they said specifically, these are the names. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. God provides. Are you with me? God provides. God will get you a job. God will pay your bills. I told Pastor Gary, I had a van. I had a 30-year-old van that cost me $400. You know that guy that was on the screen? Take your Expedition someplace. No, there's nothing wrong with one of those Ford Expeditions. But I had a 30-year-old van that cost me $400. Figure out that per year. Doesn't even make a buck. No, what is it, $10 a year or something like that? Wow, and I sold it for $500. Imagine that, I made a profit on a 30-year-old hunk of junk that everybody got out of the way of because you didn't want to get hit by the steel old van from 1984. I got it at Pastor Shibley's father's car lot. Hallelujah. Listen, we got the word. We've got the person of Christ. It's not just dead letter. It's the life of God. And he's given us so many promises. He's given us exceeding great in promises that by these you might be partakers, as we read, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. There's corruption out there through the wrong thinking. But I've got exceeding great and what? Precious promises. He promises his promises to keep me and bear fruit in old age. Not even old yet. Bear fruit in old age. Right, Billy Alexson? We're not old. We're just coming around now. Just because we're in the 70s, approaching mid-70s. What's that? That's nothing. We'll bear fruit in old age. God promises to give me an eternal purpose on a daily basis. Amen? God promises to bless children and grandchildren. God promises to use us as we preach the gospel. And we bring the gospel. We now have 768 churches in 76 countries. Can you imagine that? From here. From Wiscasset. From Wiscasset, Maine, in some little place that if you sneezed you will miss the town. From Wiscasset, 768 churches, 3,400 Bible college students. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's God. It definitely is not us. Unto you, O Lord, unto you be the glory and the honor. But thank you, God, that you gave us this precious word. And we can run with the word. Amen? We can jump with the word. We can hop with the word. We can go with the word. Bible school could be waiting for some of you in February, right? February 3rd. Is it February 3rd? Look at that. You could say, I've been to Bible school already. That was then. That was 25 years ago. Come again. Hello? You think the devil's gotten more sophisticated in the last 20 years? I need to know the word. I need to stay in the word, be in the word, love the word, know the word, be the word. Be the word. Amen? So, Father, thank you today. Thank you for the promises of God. Hebrews 11:13, they were persuaded by the promises. Persuaded by them. They were sure promises. Genesis 12, Abraham got 7 of them. And he believed them and he went forward with them. The promises of God. The promises of God. God promises to be faithful to you. He promises to love you. He promises to give you grace in any situation. He promises mercy. He promises restoration. He promises life on a daily basis. He promises you can know him. His promises are yea and amen. The promises of God. They're grace given. They're a personal word. They have an eternal purpose. Their ability comes from the Spirit, and their glory goes to God. These are the promises of God. If you're here this morning or you're on the internet, you've never received the promiser. That's Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, save me today. Come into my life. Forgive me. Cleanse me of sin. Give me the person of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:13, the Spirit of promise. And help me. Deliver me. Deliver me from the second death. Deliver me. If that's your prayer with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, or on the internet, just acknowledge it. Raise your hand. Say yes to God. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I receive the promiser. I receive the promiser. The promise of the promiser is eternal life. As we're here today as believers, help us, God. Give us a new desire for the holy book. Give us a new desire for the truth of the word. In 2020, may we be a people. Oh, by the way, there are so many churches today, they don't even care about the Bible anymore. Oh, they'll say something once in a while from the Bible, but they have a 3-hour church service and 10 minutes message. I'd like to know what they're doing the rest of the time. Help us, God. Preserve. Our heritage in the word, in missions, in body life, in prayer, in fellowship. We thank you. Bless our day today. Bring us back tonight with a great expectation. Continue to heal people that are sick, for you promised healing is in your wings. We thank you. Bless our day in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that it? That's it. Stand up, praise the Lord, and think about the word of God and the promises today. A lot of things could enter your mind, but hallelujah. Thank you, God. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. See you tonight.